So I would like to call to order the Historic Landscapes Subcommittee of the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting this Thursday, August 17th at 3:01 p.m. And I will be doing roll call and introductions next. So I'm going to call roll call, and I'll call the members of the advisory board, I mean, of the historic landscape subcommittee members first. JJ Lamb,
Here.
Jeff Elwind,
Here.
and Steve Grady is here. We have a Helen Erickson. I'm going to have you introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Helen Erickson. I am on the commission, but I'm an advisory member to the subcommittee.
Thank you. And Jody Brown.
Hello, I'm Jody Brown. I am the City of Tucson's Historic Preservation Officer.
Thank you. And I'm just going to kind of go along my screen. Ilya Sloan.
Representing El Presidio Neighborhood Association and a resident of El Presidio. I can't speak officially as co-chair of the El Presidio Historic Preservation Zone Advisory Board. We have not been officially part of a review of this project.
Thank you. Chris Stevie.
Chris Stevie at Norris Design.
Okay. Rebecca Field.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Field with Kimley Horn.
Melinda.
Hi, Melinda Pittman with Kimley Horn.
Ryan.
Hi, sorry, I'm having a little technical difficulty. I'm Ryan Fagan. I am a project manager with the City of Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, and I'm the project manager for the Fifth Street, Sixth Street Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project.
Thank you all for attending, and I think that's everyone. So the next item on the agenda is the approval of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee LAR minutes from the meeting of July 6th, 2023. And do I have a motion?
I'll move to accept the minutes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second, Elwand.
Thank you. Any discussion? Those in favor, JJ,
Aye.
Jeff,
Aye.
Steve Grady, aye. Motion passes 3-0. Item number three, review cases for discussion and or action. A is traffic triangle at 5th, 6th Street and Country Club in front of the individually listed Villa Catalina and west of Alicanto Historic District. And I'm going to allow multiple participants. Is there somebody who'd like to present on this item?
I can share my screen if that's okay.
Yes, please.
Okay, perfect. Hopefully you all can see it.
Yes.
So again, thank you for giving us the opportunity to come back and chat with you guys about this triangle that we've been looking at. I know we discussed it at one of your last meetings, the existing palm trees that are here in the triangle at 6th and 5th and Country Club. So just as a reminder, these are where those palm trees are. As we discussed last time, there are most of these palms are in pretty good health. There was one, and it's right in this location, that is in very poor health. And I'll show you a picture here in a moment just to refresh your memory. These are the palm trees along Country Club. And then this one circled here is the one that is currently serving as a memorial tree, but obviously it has seen better days. So we discussed last time when we looked at this plan, and this is what we looked at previously, that, you know, the intent is to really try to keep those palm trees in the location shown in red. The feedback we received from you all, along with the fact that recognizing that one palm tree is in poor health and can be removed. So hearing your great feedback, we did revise the plan, and this is what I'm showing now on the screen to make sure that we were addressing the comments that you all had. So just to highlight, we have the palm trees. Instead of the red dots, we have them shown here as palms to remain. We have this palm tree near the bus shelter that will also remain. And then we are calling out a new memorial tree in place of that one palm that was in poor health. Other changes that we've made to this, we've added a lot more trees just to further vegetate the area. As we talked last time, we think this could provide a really fun opportunity to highlight both historic landscape and the fact that the palms are significant in the area, and then this push to lower water use plants and the introduction of GSI into this triangle. So we think there are some interpretive opportunities that could be taken advantage of in this new location, and that it could really serve as a nice focal point for the area. So we've added an additional water harvesting up in area up in this corner to, again, just better reinforce that message that we're trying to take as much water as we can from the pavement, incorporate it into the landscape while still keeping those palm trees where they are today. So with that, I'll open it up to comments.
Thank you. And I wanted to thank you for your sensitivity to the concerns of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee. And we really appreciate your efforts with this. Do we have any questions, comments, or a motion?
I would just ditto what you said, Steve. I really appreciate, you really listening to the feedback from the committee. And I like what you've done.
This is Helen. I just have a question, more curiosity perhaps than anything else. What are the trees that you're proposing to put here?
So we have just a generic symbol shown here as, you know, trees to remain and then new shade trees. We have a couple of suggestions here, but we haven't developed the planting palette yet. But we would be looking for Sonoran desert native species like the ironwood or mesquite, and look to really use those low water type trees in this composition moving forward.
So you're looking for sort of medium height trees, is that what, or are you looking for tall trees?
More medium height trees. Again, looking at the desert varieties that we have, we know that there could be some concerns about Palo Verdes, but those could be another species that we could include. We also may look at some smaller trees. Melinda Pittman is on the line also as one of our designers. Melinda, I'm not sure if you've given more thought to the tree types that you were considering in this.
Yeah, I think desert willows could be a potential species, but just trying to keep it in a low water use tree group, but also be considerate that pedestrians are moving through the space, and we don't want trees with large thorns or, that could endanger people.
Thank you. That was more a curiosity question than anything else.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments? And do we have a motion?
Jeff Allman here. I move that we accept the submission from the submission on the park.
Okay, this is JJ. I'll second that.
Okay. And so just to reiterate, we are recommending approval of the plan as presented. And we have a second. Any comments or questions? I'll call the vote. JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Jeff Elwind?
Aye.
Steve Grady? Aye. The motion passes 3-0. We really appreciate your concern with the historic plant material. The approach is vegetated and seems in keeping with the tradition of median planting in the city of Tucson. I appreciate the differentiation of the lower trees to visually differentiate from the palms. So, Helen, did you have any last comments before we move to the next item?
No, simply that I think all of us are in agreement that we appreciate the opportunity to work with this, to come out with a positive solution. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we really do appreciate your comments. We are excited about the opportunity to add that interpretive element into this space too. So thank you all very much for your time. I'll go ahead and stop sharing.
Thank you. Hey. I noticed that we have one additional person who's attended, and it says David's phone. May I have you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name's David Marhefka. I'm the landscape architect for the City of Tucson Transportation Department.
Okay. Thank you. And I apologize. What was your last name?
It's Marhefka. M-A-R-H-E-F-K-A. Marhefka.
Thank you so much. This will help me with the LAR. So let's move on to the next item, which is item B, Activate El Presidio Streetscape Project. And do we have someone to present on that?
I guess, Steve, that is me.
Okay, Chris. So you're welcome to care.
Well, I guess I kind of want to start a little bit just on maybe querying this group as the best way to interact with it at this point, where I'm kind of taking this as more of a courtesy, like we're doing this project and I'm not sure we're at a point. I mean, we don't have plant material fully chosen. We have some ideas what we want to do, but there's a lot of space to cover. And should I want me to just go rapid fire through spots or go over the entire project? How do we want to interact with this? I have, I have a presentation together that I could share. But I don't want to be, I want to be mindful of everyone's time and efforts. And, there's maybe a dozen trees total on the project.
So if you can give a little bit of background to the project.
Sure, sure. Let me go back here. I'll start sharing screen and we can mm-hmm. discuss.
That would be great. Chris, you're sharing your email.
Did I grab the wrong screen? I sure did. Oh, I grabbed one with all your pictures on. I was like, oh, that's my right screen. But no, that's the wrong screen. There we go. Now we have a better.
Much better.
Jump there. Actually, a funny aside, I was on a meeting the other day and one of the guys that was presenting forgot that he's presenting and started reading his emails as we were all talking. Like, pay attention, man. We're all still in this meeting. Didn't want anything sensitive to pop up. So ultimately, the project is Activate El Presidio. It's been in action for several years. It got a little bit of a COVID pause. It's a community-based project sponsored by Rio Nuevo, being facilitated by City of Tucson, and Norris Designs, the consultant designer to assist in the process. There's been quite a bit of community outreach already. There's been public presentations. There's already been a draft report done by Project for Public Spaces that gained some traction and moved it into a more an actual design project. Like I said, Rio Nuevo is sponsoring it and funding this project, even though it's within city right-of-ways. For the most part, there's a couple spots that jump into a little bit onto private, but mostly within the right-of-way or on city-owned property. So activate El Presidio. It's in the historic El Presidio neighborhood. Most of the design and the colors and any creative element of the project really is based a lot on the courthouse dome. So that's our color palette, pattern palette for things that have that kind of need. I'll give you a little overview of the area. We're orienting ourselves north to the top. Alameda Street's on the bottom. YMCA 201 North Stones, the bottom right, the number 8 project area there is on Hakame Plaza, if that helps with anyone. Number 9 is the block next to El Charro. So that starts to orient us around the historic El Presidio neighborhood. Right here in the middle, the main 1, 2, and 3 areas are surrounding Old Town Artisans. So it's the main core of the neighborhood there. So I can move through these spaces. They're in order. So moving from here, we have Court Street, Tejas, Washington. Then we move out to a couple of the gateway areas, Alameda and Court, Main and Alameda, the Tucson Museum Courtyard property at Alameda, Presidio or Hakame Plaza, Transamerica building. There's a little bit of work here. And then the El Charro block, North Court, is technically outside of the El Presidio neighborhood, but is being considered for part of this project. There's some additional funding sources being entertained for work within that area, but it's not technically within the Rio Nuevo. It's within historic El Presidio. It's not in the Rio Nuevo district. So there's alternate funding sources. The main focus of the project really is to do lighter, quicker, cheaper improvements that will activate or create some buzz or sense in community within the park, within the neighborhood. So improvements shown are, I'd say meant to be semi-temporary. They're not impacting any historic structures. They are surface only, so there's no footers necessarily, there's no connections. They are based on the shared space guidelines that are developing right now within the city. So if you're familiar with downtown, some of the restaurants have seating areas that occupy parking spaces. There's a couple areas that work in that manner here. So when we're looking around, the other big element within this is asphalt art painting, which is a common element being used downtown to define spaces, provide some pedestrian refuge, and give a little bit of community presence within different zones of downtown. So let's move into here. Those are kind of the common themes. I'll zoom in on this a little bit if it lets me. So this is area 1. We're back here. We're right here. This is the Presidio Museum building. So if we go here, Presidio Museum building is here. Presidio itself is this space here. Old Town Artisans, La Casina is the left edge of the screen. What we're looking at here is I'll give you a color guide here. Yellow, light green, and blue are applications of paint. We're using different colors really just to define different styles. So we have sidewalks that have it, streets that have it. So asphalt within the road or painted within the road, and a couple blue areas. Blue areas may be areas that have a little higher level of design or just a little more interactive with the style, but it's still just a surface application of paint on the asphalt, existing asphalt, no improvements made to the asphalt. Plant material, we're looking at a couple of trees, large planter boxes, 5 foot by 5 foot or so. So they're able to sustain a plant material of, I'd say, a pretty substantial size and be able to get a good sized tree in there and have it grow to actually provide shade. The planters will ultimately be movable. They will be up on little peg legs. So if we need to move them for some reason, for you know, design ideas change or plans change or just the tone of the neighborhood changes, those things will be able to be forklift out. Everything in here should be removable and or movable. That's kind of one of our main ideas. So what we're ultimately trying to do in this space is create a sitting area for the Presidio Museum, a couple benches, add a little paving, create a seating area within the parking spaces outside the museum, more of a lobby, outdoor lobby. These yellow areas are like corner bump outs. So it's flexible bollards. You know, if you're familiar with the installation that was recently done at the Children's Museum on 6th Avenue downtown, this is the basis of some of this work. You have flexible bollards, some geometric patterns on the ground to define that this is a pedestrian space and not a travel lane anymore. So that's the kind of the general theme of all the spaces we're looking at for this project. Some shade trees, if we can get them, seating, and some art to help consolidate the neighborhood and to give a little bit of a new activation, to bring some interest, to bring some reason to hang out and come and stay in these spaces. Tejas, this is the north side of the Tucson Museum of Art, south side of Old Town Artisans. Same elements here, color. There's existing brick here that's this reddish tone. The big change in this space that's different than the other ones is we're introducing a lighting element. We are working with Park Tucson or Parkwise to remove the parking meters in this area and create a meter kiosk for payment. So we're going to use those parking meter poles as bases to extend poles higher off of those locations, and do some overhead lighting, do some string light style, create a little visual interest and some light on those front entrances to the retail in that space. Other than that, it's most the same. Trees and boxes are the big four trees. Coloring on the streets, planters. It's all pretty simple improvements, pretty quick. We think this is all stuff that's solidly grounded in downtown urban planning principles of creating spaces and creating identities of spaces. So we're pretty excited to be part of this project and try to get some of these elements in. And that I think with the, I don't think we have it. If you look back, like these blues, greens, and yellows, all those colors are all going to be working off of some pattern or design related back to the dome on the courthouse. That I want to make sure that's clear, that this is not going to be a red stripe with stars in it. It's just a representation for this level of design that we're at. It'll have some patterning basing on the dome. The other, I think the big centerpiece of the space is Washington. This street's already been closed to vehicle traffic, so it is a pedestrian space. We need to maintain the north half of it for fire lane, but otherwise it's a pedestrian space. There are no travel lanes moving through here anymore. So we're creating some eating areas, shaded seating, open seating, games of different age groups, from little kids to adults throwing bag toss, stuff like that, to interact with the neighborhood aesthetic and to give people a place to come and hang out and go to Old Town Artisans, La Cocina, Sears at lunch, you know, things like that, and create a community living room, basically. But there's no real trees in this space. One tree right here in the middle, that's about the only plant material in this space. The rest is overhead lighting, existing vegetation to remain. There's some existing vegetation around on the north side. That's all. There's none of it so far that's even looking like it's going to be in the way to do anything. So we're maintaining all trees, all shrubs. There's a little planter box right here. The rest of the spaces kind of follow that same theme. As far as landscape goes, this space here is probably the most interesting. If we're aware of where we're at here, we're at the corner of Tucson Museum of Art, Alameda, Transamerica Building, parking garage is right here. This is a sea of brick. So our intent with this area is to capture two downspouts in this area that come off the roof drainage, remove some of the brick, create a landscape area there that captures and utilizes that water, and use this brick as paving in other areas around the project site. There's some areas around the project that have very narrow strips between like the curb and the sidewalk, or between the sidewalk and a seat and a paver wall or a planter wall. We're going to use these brick removals and use that to infill those spaces so that it creates a little more of a pedestrian friendly area between fronts of buildings to the curb. So it's smooth pavement all the way across. It's a pretty easy add to create an extra 2 feet or 18 inches of usable space between the curb and the curb in a building or curb in the front steps. But this area here, there's an existing palm. There's another existing tree here. We haven't done it. Like the last presentation was real great. They just differentiated between existing and new. We haven't got there yet, but none of the existing is being proposed to be removed. It's mostly let's make the planting area that's at the base of this existing palm bigger and make it happier so that it has a space to grow into that and add some more plant material. So wherever there's plants in this area, we're looking at expanding them. We do have some planters, pots, pretty typical to the look and feel of planter pots that are downtown already. Those are all hand watered by Downtown Tucson Partnership. We're negotiating with them to get included in that program so we can ensure that there's a consistent maintenance watering at least protocol for all plants that we're proposing. Alameda in Maine, similar idea. There's some existing concrete we want to take out to expand planting, make the trees a little bigger area around them. Some planters along the street to create a little bit of a buffer, a little bit of a visual. The road won't really buffer anything, but more of a little bit of a visual break between the street and possible sitting area in here. Some benches, seating being added. There's some pretty cool murals in this space. So there's an art element being introduced here and in some other spaces, but this is a pretty cool space. I think it's underused and because it doesn't feel good. You know, it's a little harsh. So pulling a little more expansive landscape in here, adding some seating elements, some art elements will make it a whole lot more inviting and create a gateway into historic Presidio. There's existing mesquite trees in here. They're all staying. No intent to remove or change the existing. This is the Tucson Museum of Art. It's more of a connector. So this is a pedestrian oriented, space. There is area here. We're looking at adding a couple trees. There's a couple downspouts that pull off the building right here that just go into dirt and then into a drain. So we're going to work with that water and create some opportunity to grow some trees in here and add some shade, to this space and create this. This space right here is used by, art classes and community classes that are within the museum or offered by the museum. So there's a lot of traffic in and out of here, and there's no real place to go and sit down outside of this building. If you're going to have your lunch break or if you have a group of kids that need somewhere to go, there's nowhere really to go. Just this giant brick plaza. So that's the intent here, is to create a couple of places to sit, some place to be interactive and have some shade. maybe have some more bike racks to facilitate bike rack or bike movements within the city and entice people to maybe use their bike more often. Same with Transamerica. That's basically the intent here is to use the existing landscape, clean it up, maybe add a couple plants within the existing planters, add some seeding, so a couple planter pots around this edge to create a little bit of a buffer between the busy road and, you know, pedestrian areas. And not a whole lot of physical change in these spaces, more about creating some edges, creating buffers, even if they're just visual, of creating a little bit of an edge between the vehicles and pedestrian space. This space has a lot of potential change coming to it. So we're being light touch in here. There's a couple tenants moving into this building that may have plans to expand and push out a little bit. So we're not sure what those mean right now. Hakame Plaza, that northwest corner, there's those three seat walls that are there existing. Seat walls stay as they are. We see an opportunity to add a bunch of trees in here. There's irrigation existing. We can use the city parks system to irrigate these trees, bring in some string lighting to go in between the trees on some poles. And we're hoping that activates this space in a little more dynamic way than just seat walls out in the blazing sun. So it's a pretty light touch in here, maybe a little turf removal to make the maintenance of the trees a little easier. And just creating shade, creating a little light, creating a little activity, a little reason to pull you into this space. And then you'll see the other spaces down the street. Hey, what are these? They have the same colors. They have the same trees. Let's go check out that. And then next thing you know, you're at Old Town Artisans hanging out in the courtyard. Kind of the same thing about our last space, the Court Avenue, from Franklin to Court or to Council. I'll orient you here on this page. The left side of this split is the north half of the street. So Franklin at the top, El Charles right here. And then it cuts in half. The south half of the block is on this side, Council Streets here. This is all within the sidewalk zone, creating a couple bump outs for safety, slow down traffic a little more on Franklin, make sure people aren't zipping around that corner, and create some spaces for potential use by either El Charo or events or things happening with the parking. There's some planning going on about potential uses of this corner space and this corner space. But it's really just to kind of enliven this space and bring a little paving along the edge to make the sidewalk, the curb, a little cleaner. Same thing here with what I talked about on Tejas, bringing in a parking kiosk so we can use those parking meter poles as a basis to extend up and bring some lights into this space. And so with the lights on El Charo, some lights here, that's really going to be an inviting from all the way on the over by the YMCA or even the courts building down on Stone. You'll be able to see that from here, from there, and visually want to bring yourself that direction and come into the neighborhood and explore this neighborhood a little more. But really not a whole lot of trees. There's an existing mesquite just off screen right here. That's a really big mesquite. That's staying where it is. No intent to change or move that. Maybe a smaller tree in here to give that a little bit of personal, little more scale in a large planter. Same thing up here, large planter. Maybe a tree, maybe not. We're trying to decide. There's some overhead power going on in the area that we're being aware of. I know I went fast through a lot of that stuff, but they're all kind of the same theme of the very first couple spots, just used in different ways in each space. It's a couple trees, some surface treatments to create visual interest, some planter pots, some planters, maybe steel to create a visual edge between your vehicle space and your public space. all wanting to stay within the theming and the historic context. So a lot of the materials are all weathered wood, some steel, stucco. We have some little seat walls. We're using some, you know, stucco and paint. That's a very common feature in this neighborhood. The colors that are going to be represented on the ground plane all come off the historic dome. So we're doing our best to stay in at least a theme or a communication with the neighborhood on materiality and providing some, you know, a little more contemporary interest to, you know, muraling or paint on the road is not a historic element, but we're trying to introduce that in a way that still complements or at least communicates with the historic context of the neighborhood. Plant material, I guess since it's the landscape committee, plant materials has been a conversation we've been having. My original thought was something more in the desert willow range, just because it offers a little bit of color and is a tree that is having kind of a renaissance in the landscape world right now. It was not a tree that was preferred for many years because it had a lot of litter and was not the most attractive tree in the winter months because it had a silky seed pod that hung off. But that's mostly been bred out of them. They're a better tree now, a lot more different color palettes, consistent size, consistent growth. Other than that, there's a couple mesquite varieties I'm looking at that have also the same idea. They've kind of bred out some of the pod and some of the low-hanging limb type issues that those trees have had. So, you know, within the historic context of this neighborhood, those seem to be right in line with what's down here without getting into the China berries and some of the other larger trees that might be historically relevant.
Great. Thank you. I didn't mean to cut you off if you had anything else you wanted to say.
No, it's a hard one to kind of give in a short burst. You know, there's a lot going on. There's 10 different spaces. Each of them have their little things. So I tried to give a broad brush of kind of what we're thinking, where we're heading, see if there's anything that this group of people want to have input on, would want to have, you know, I want to hear your thoughts on things that would be important for this board within the historic El Presidio neighborhood context.
Thank you, Chris. So the Historic Landscape Subcommittee had taken a look, takes a look at historic designed properties such as parks. We take a look at rural landscapes. Another thing we look at is historic streetscapes. Historic streetscapes are the setting of a historic district, and very often more of what one interfaces with than any specific structure. It gives the overall theme and feeling for a district. And so when we begin to take a look at the historic streetscape, we take a look first at how it responds to topography. And you're not changing any topography with this, but how it responds to topography. Does it have retaining walls, et cetera? Then we take a look at what is the general profile? What is the curb? Is there a planting strip between the curb and the sidewalk? What is the traditional width of the sidewalk? What are the materials? Is there a traditional non-paved space between the sidewalk and a property line or a structure? Then beyond that, we take a look at elements such as lighting, not just the lighting as artifacts, but lighting as an experience. Is there a tradition for lighting in that district? What is the general quality of the light and the height of a fixture and such that makes a change to that will give a very different impact. Now, you were talking about adding lighting, which in a non-historic fashion, but that doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means that what is character defining should be maintained as part of this process. We do look for historic plant material, especially where it creates patterns. Was there traditionally a street tree planting? Was there a rhythm to that street tree planting? If the street tree is to be changed, what are the qualities of that street tree? Is it deciduous? Is it evergreen? Is it dark green? Is it light green? Is it broad and spreading? Does it have fall color? So these are the kinds of questions we would look at, and we would look at if you are restoring an element, we're looking to match the qualities as well as possible, understanding that in many cases, replacement of the exact material may be difficult or really not make sense with today's climate. So what we're looking at with this project is that you're not impacting the sidewalks, which some of which are probably historic, in that the exception of paint, correct? You're not removing any sidewalk material.
Correct. Our scope doesn't include any infrastructure within quotes improvements. So there's no curb, sidewalk, unless there's something that's radically cracked and broken, that's not going to necessarily enter our purview on this project.
And in a case such as that, you're probably replacing in kind. You wouldn't
be
changing the material, or you wouldn't be changing.
And or it would be a situation where if we identified something like that, we'd have to turn around and go back to city. Just from the funding mechanisms, there's a split that needs to happen there. So this project is not necessarily funding improvements that would be typical city improvements or municipally
so based. We also take a look at circulation, and so closing of roadways, but the closures that are discussed are already enacted. So that's not something that we would be taking a look at specifically, because you're not changing something that you're not impacting something in a way that's not already existing. So if I'm not mistaken, you are adding bollards, planters, paint. You are adding strung light bulb lighting,
correct.
No old lighting type beyond that. You are modifying parking meters, but the parking meters were non-historic or not part of the contributing period of significance for the district anyway. So we're not looking at a contributing feature that you're impacting that I'm aware of. The addition of visual elements as bold as a 5-foot by 5-foot planter with vegetation in it needs to be done carefully. What that impact to the streetscape is something that we might want to take a look at. I don't know if you're using SketchUp or some tool to give a little visualization would be very helpful for the committee.
Let me jump out of screen share. I might be able to pull up an image or two. I don't think they were. Okay. Let me see if they're on the back end here. No, we didn't add them to this presentation yet. We have a couple. I have a couple photo sims that we did for another project.
Okay.
Or for this project, or for another presentation, like you can keep discussing. I'll pull in the background. I'll pull them up.
Sure. So something like that has a major visual impact on historic fabric, on the streets themselves, the width of the streets, the setbacks of the buildings, the heights of the buildings, and such. All form kind of this this streetscape. It all is part of the historic streetscape, and so to interrupt with a large planter, even something that's not truly permanent would be something that we would need to discuss. Because anything that large, probably even though it's not a built permanent element, it will have a lasting impact on the view of the street, especially looking north and south. I think many of them are on north-south streets.
Yes. That long vista from point A to point B, 3-4 blocks worth of vista is definitely going to be impacted in each of these areas. Yes.
I don't think that, and so we would want to take a look at many of these districts had historically had street trees. I know Emory Park District did, this towards the, that they had rows of trees, ash or chinaberry, but it's nice to take a look at some of the historic streetscape images and to see if and where there were trees. And if, you know, you are paying homage to that, you're respecting that in some way, would be a way to look at the bringing in of the element itself. The seating area is a non-traditional use for a roadway. And if you are putting in masonry, because we were talking about stucco as an element, we would definitely want to take a look at, because that has a sense of permanence to it. So we'll probably want to take a look at that more closely. And I've just jumped in initially because I did a lot of our historic streetscape study work for the Historic Landscape Subcommittee. So I'm jumping in a little bit on that. I wanted to invite Jeff, JJ, or Helen to comment as well.
Okay, well, this is Helen. I have a whole bunch of questions. Okay, the first one is, you know, you can think about this as an art project to a certain extent, something like the gates, sort of Christo's work, wrapping the Reichstag, putting all of the panels into Central Park, and so on and so forth. And I think in that sense, it has potential as a valid way of going about things. My question with regard to that is, how long is this going to stay? Because I think that is a major consideration. If it's a temporary exhibit, you know, say we say 2 years and then it goes away. I mean, not necessarily the paint on the street, which I think eventually will go away by itself, but a question of things like the bollards and the benches and other things that are introduced. So that's my first question.
I'm going to think for a second before I answer this, that ultimately the thought process behind the project in general is temporary and that this is a leveled impact, right? That we do something low impact or lower impact to engage the neighborhood. Now people are like, oh, there's a viable thing here. Now we go into a more formal, well, I want to do this to the front of my property or to this, to the street or to the common space. It's a more of a, to spur that change that would be, I would think, be more considered the permanence. But being in Tucson and being a resident that's lived in Tucson a long time, temporary projects tend to last long, long time. So I don't want to say it's totally temporary, but the intent is that everything in here is constructed and installed in a way that if it becomes something that is an issue or a problem or is being now wants to become more permanent, that it gets removed and built in a more permanent way. There's nothing here in this, in anything that we've proposed or we're proposing so far that is actually has a concrete footer or goes into the ground at all, like maybe just the asphalt level. So I want to say it's temporary, but that makes it sound like it's that there's a less level of thought or input put into it. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to say this stuff's just there for a weekender. This is going to be here for a minute, but it's not intended to be forever.
Well, this is JJ. I think going back to something that Steve said, you know, taking some time to look at historic photographs of the area, I think it's very likely that you're going to see some elements that you plan to do that are represented at some level in those historic photographs, and that really taking a lot of cues from that would be a good idea.
Yeah, we tend to, the part I kind of skipped over is there's a pretty heavy, and I wouldn't say pretty heavy, but there's been discussion of more muraling in certain locations, and the discussion around those has pushed more and more into historic representation of neighborhood characters, characteristics. There's one area I didn't get into, but we're looking at putting some steel panels, mounting them to block the chiller unit at the museum next to Transamerica there. It's pretty loud and just in your face. So we're looking at doing some cut steel in there. And what we're doing right now is trying to track down a good Sanborn mat to have that be the pattern that's embedded into the steel as a Presidio map, you know. So I'd say the historic context and the character and the people and history of the neighborhood is something we're trying to implement as well as we can within a streetscape landscape element, you know. So some of the built elements are all kind of trying to pull some of that history. Helen, you had a big long list. We only got to number one.
Okay, so at one point you say you're taking out brick and recycling it and using it elsewhere. Where is the brick from? What is the history of that brick? And, you know, one of the things we would look at is whether you're taking out essentially historic material from the landscape. And I personally, looking at that site, I have no idea. It strikes me that that brick is probably from the 60s or 70s. I would just make kind of a guess. Steve's nodding his head, in which case it's not from the period of significance for the Presidio. So that becomes a different question. But if you're putting it somewhere, then that becomes a different issue. Are you putting it somewhere where it would not have been historically? And, is it a question of simply repairing other streets and you figure you should recycle this material? Or is that actually impacting other historic fabric?
Well, the brick we're planning on pulling out is City of Tucson brick on Alameda.
Right.
I might even put that in the 80s, depending on the last improvements to Tucson Museum of Art. Does anyone remember when that plaza was done? The big downslope plaza? It seems like it's got an 80s or 90s vibe to it. So I'd say the brick in that area is probably of that generation. Areas that we're using it are between sidewalk and curb in the pedestrian zone of spaces. So I would think it would be, you know, since we're not removing any sidewalk or concrete or doing any concrete improvement of using that, the second part of your question there is the one that, yeah, that catches my interest a little bit of like, how would that material be used traditionally in the neighborhood, right? Was it a sidewalk element, or was it even used for that in this neighborhood? I would say historically there was no sidewalks or pedestrian movement at all. It was your front yard was dirt. Yeah. You know?
But you know, one thing is worth looking at in that regard is on Main, right outside the Museum of Art, because we do have two historic trees there. And
there's quite a bit of brick in that corner too, if I remember right.
So the question might be where you're looking at replacing things with bricks. Again, I haven't been there, you know, for at least a year, so I'm not, my memory of the place is not perfect. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the question is what was done with those planting strips or whatever you want to call it traditionally, because that could also have an impact on, you know, obviously planters were not a historic feature of this area. They just didn't do that. So if you're thinking about planters again as a temporary thing, as a temporary enhancement, and going back to my first question, then that makes a certain amount of sense. Yeah. But if you are putting in planters with the intention that they might be permanent, you are essentially redesigning a historic street by what we would call intrusions, technically. I'm sorry, yeah. But that's what the historians would say. So I think that would be one thing to think about.
I think the planters question might be that where I started with my first answer was like, we want to do this now. Ultimately, we're doing everything so it can be moved and, like, you know, not permanent. But it becomes popular enough or part of the, you know, it becomes part of the new fabric. Mm-hmm. Then there's a conversation of, do we make these trees in this location permanent by taking this planter out, putting in a, you know, it's pretty popular now. We're doing some green infrastructure, catching the rainwater from the curb and creating a planter. There's been a couple of them done on Franklin already. Those types of improvements I could see happening in these spaces down the road, but not part of this project. You know, I could see this becoming something that may trigger that type of project in the future.
Well, that, as I say, you know, it's a question not just what you're taking out, it's a question of what you're putting in, right?
Correct.
So, you know, again, with the bollards, that would be a concern from my perspective. And I don't know how effective they've been at keeping people off the corners in Armory Park or if the paint has been sufficient, you know.
It's pretty good. I mean, I live right there by Armory Park, and the flexible bollards are, you know, they're surface mounted. So they're just, you know, glued down and, you know, there's some bolts that hold them into the asphalt. But I haven't seen any of those run over yet or taken down to where they're gone. And it seems like it's that with the color, with the coloring on the ground at the same time, is really, I think, doing the trick. It's providing that.
I wonder if it'd be worth doing a test on that to see basically how much power what's on the ground has, as opposed to having the bollards. The bollards are definitely an intrusion. What's on the ground, you know, you can see that as temporary. And that might be a way to sort of check out whether, you know, again, it's this minimal approach. Don't do something if you don't have to, kind of thing. And then running down my list here, with the murals and the art elements, those are all going to be on private property, basically, or what is
Those technically are going to be, we're going to provide the opportunity for those to happen, but there's going to be a secondary. If a mural goes up, it has to go through a whole nother process. We're not going to be able to handle that within this review process, but we're providing the opportunity to identifying spaces for those to happen. But there's a whole nother, you know, art review committee, and there's a whole nother level of committees to get one of those done. We're not going there right now.
talking about that. And then my next question, because this is something that is usually not considered, if you are placing these parking kiosk things so that, you know, you have a place to put the credit card in and so on and so forth, I think it's worthwhile reviewing exactly where those are placed, because frequently they are placed in disruptive positions in terms of what is the view shed at that point. So having them immediately in front of one of the most historic buildings in the entire area, you know, this maybe needs to be thought out. So that would be one other thing. What materials are you thinking of for the planters?
Right now, they're being detailed out as a wood with a steel frame. There's actually a really good Let me share a screen again. I got a couple images here.
Great. Thank you.
Of course, these are artistic renderings, so colors are a little what we can do with technology. Here's a kind of a, this is a viewpoint of the Presidio Museum looking north on a court. This is what we're, so those graphics that I was showing you, this is a representation of what these look like in real time. Mm-hmm. So the planters, we're thinking, you know, some wood with this weathered steel frame. This seating area is a weathered steel frame with a metal roof to match the one.
How is the metal roof supported?
Steel poles.
Uh-huh. Just freestanding.
Yeah, if you're familiar with the seating areas like along Congress downtown, this is very similar to those. It basically creates a 6-inch high deck that's flush with sidewalk. You know, so the steel poles are integrated into that structure.
Again. Yeah, if you look at this, you definitely have a sense that this is not intended to be part of the historic fabric, which I think is a plus, actually.
Right. I want it to be different enough, but communicate back to it. You know, have a little bit of context to where it's at, but still be different enough that we're not trying to mimic or make it look like it is historic, right?
Right. Yeah, I think my major concern here, I have one more question. Lighting. You're talking about like beer garden lighting or...
Here, I got one more image for you to show you what that looks like. So Tellez is the other main street that we did an image for. And actually I have two images for this one, so I'll go to the second image right off. If we go there, this is the lighting element I was speaking of. So this is this, if you can see my cursor, this is where a parking meter pole would be. So if we use that parking meter, extend up and do some lighting, you know, the lighting zigzags back across on these poles down the street. So it doesn't return back to the building ever. It's held out in the street.
Right. Wish you could get rid of those bollards. They really are. I hate to say this because we're not supposed to have aesthetic judgments here, but they really are ugly.
You know, and there's not much we can do for those other than maybe reduce the quantity of them. That's, you know, we're kind of tossing them in here. So there may be fewer required. If we start getting into Department of Transportation, they'll help us with the quantity and spacing of those.
And of course, the whole point here is you want them bright yellow so people see them.
Yeah, yellow or white, one of the two colors. were talking about the kiosk. This is a location that we've been kind of bookmarking is close to here because this kiosk is actually going to pick up the parking spaces on Tellez and the ones down Meyer that wrap around the corner. So we're trying to find a good spot for that. So if you guys have input on where that could be located, that would be better. We don't have, you know, we're not set in stone on that at all as to where that is. I mean, ParkWise is going to have their viewpoint, but.
Well, just my opinion, I think it does look relatively unobtrusive there. Yeah. So we're going back to the main question that I started out with. I would say my biggest concern is what does temporary mean? Because again, I think there has to be an evaluation point. You know, you said it yourself, this is Tucson. You put something there and it's there forever until it rots, right?
Sometimes.
And
then it's historic and you can't move it.
So, yeah, that I think, you know, seeing this as an art project, as an activation project, all of that I see as really positive and good. But I must say, I am concerned about the long-term impact, because we really are, I don't know how to say it, we're sort of, I don't want to use this old term, but it gives you an idea, putting lipstick on a pig. It's sort of doing something that is so definitely out of character with the historic characteristics of the neighborhood, that you can see that it's definitely not part of the historic scene. And that is good, but I'm concerned about what we're losing in the process.
Or that it's kind of like it's an overlay. It's a little bit of an overlay on the historic fabric, right? And I understand your concern. We've had this concern since day one of what this means in the neighborhood, right? And this is a good vocalization of that concern, I think, and it's valid. I don't want to pretend that it's not something we're thinking about or that we're not going to take with us. How does an overlay on a historic fabric that you don't want to try to act like what you're overlaying is part of that historic fabric? What happens when that overlay dissolves into the historic fabric, really, if you think about it? Like that's a very complicated conversation. And yeah, I don't know how to address that holistically at this moment, other than it's been on my mind since we started, and it's definitely something I'm going to take away from this meeting.
Again, just because I know Fletcher and the Rio Nuevo situation, what is their concept behind this? In other words, how are they looking at this? Are they seeing it as a temporary installation, or are
they? Yes, ultimately the mission statement is to create activity and interest to generate more retail activity in the area. So basically to energize this space, to make it more active and more enlivened, and for the neighborhood to have a space. So it's just the kind of a dual purpose. One is to ultimately help generate retail. You know, Rio Nuevo is a tax district, right? So that's what they want to generate retail activity. And they also want to create spaces that are inclusive for the neighborhood at the same time. So I think what we were trying to do was create a base and to create a stage that future things could be built onto or built on top, you know, grow from, was really more the idea, is that that's the temporariness of this, is that this is meant to be something that brings people to the space, makes it a space that is now unknown, and then it generates private development or private improvement of areas.
Well, yes, I think if you take away the idea that maybe we need a term limit, oh no, something like that, that would be a concern. Oh, one more thing. With your trees, are you sure you don't want something that is not going to lose its leaves?
Steve, you might appreciate this. It's kind of the landscape architect's lament, right? Like, find me that perfect tree. I almost prefer deciduous trees. They have a litter at a certain period of time, and then the rest of the year they're probably pretty clean, straightforward, where evergreen or trees that stay green all year are kind of always are doing something. They're always got something dropping off under dripping. So I think it's going to be a mix. I have a couple other trees in my pocket that I'm thinking I want to do it like we were talking earlier about kind of looking back through some of the old photos and stuff. I want to do one more round of that and see if there's something that sticks out as a, you know, I know what I'd like to use in my urban pedestrian environments. There's trees that I like.
Well, I don't know if Steve could answer this question. Are sour oranges something that happened later, like during modernism, Steve, or were there actually sour oranges here before?
I think we can go back to the 30s and 40s for sour oranges.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the period of significance for the neighborhood specifically, but a lot of the districts kind of go up until World War II. And so we would probably have sour oranges at that time.
Maybe China berry?
China berry, definitely.
Is that in this neighborhood?
Yeah, China berry were everywhere. There was a railroad. But they're terrible trees.
But that's the thing, like looking back at historic landscapes compared to contemporary, you know, thought processes on trees and what we do here is, you know, that it's sometimes a disconnect, you know.
Very much so. But I think that the choice of a tree specifically being historic is less important than having character, bringing in a character shape form of a tree that may have been there historically, kind of paying homage to something. But there's only a handful of trees that do well in a container anyway. So you'll be going, you'll be looking at a limited palette. Thank you. And thank you, Helen, for your thoughtful questions and response. And I echo all of them. Chris, if I could ask a favor, if you could stop sharing. Yes.
Sorry, this is JJ. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay. So just one other thought that occurs to me, you know, activating the space to bring in, you know, to make it more attractive to investment is, you know, a necessary thing. It's not a bad thing. But I think having a stronger focus on creating spaces for the people who live in that area and who work in that area to use, I would just say I would put a stronger emphasis on that. Sometimes too strong a focus on investment creates a gentrification situation.
Sure.
Thank you, JJ.
But I think this is overall, I think it's a pretty exciting project. And personally, I love things that make people want to stay and linger and enjoy historic spaces.
Right. Ultimately, I think that's instead of moving all the way through to somewhere else, there now there's opportunities to stay and linger, right? There's an opportunity to stay, somewhere to hang, somewhere to be other than a sidewalk. So the point taken, and I'm going to use that phrase more often because I think it really kind of is one of the core themes. You know, it's like that, yes, investment in the neighborhood, but also create something for the community. And that really nails it right on the head, hits the nail right on the head, is that creating spaces to stay and linger is without loitering. That's probably the next step of that.
So, Chris,
that's a challenge. That is a challenge.
Yeah. Right.
Lingering without loitering.
Yes. Semantics.
So, Chris, we've given quite a bit of input. I think you have a pretty strong sense of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee input.
Yes.
Do you are you at a stage where you could take and maybe integrate some of this input and come back and meet with us at a later date?
Yes, like in a very quick later date. We're kind of at the tail end of design sequence, and we're kind of tightening up construction details. So some of the ideas on this are now able to tweak those details in the last phases, but we're looking at putting the gas pedal on, getting approvals and getting things okayed as we go. So yes, we're going to take things out of, from this conversation, integrate them in, and then try to turn around and come back to you as soon as we can.
Okay. Just please contact me, and we'll, because we don't have a traditional meeting time, we'll see when we have a quorum and we'll work to accommodate. But please give us a week or two, or at least 2 weeks, to determine if we have a quorum and put together an agenda and such.
Yeah, I think there's a couple other, you know, this one's in a sequence of events, right? And so I think, you know, as we move through those, we'll be stacking those up and making them kind of all work together. Okay. So we have the historic neighborhood has a historic historic board we're going to go through. Pima County Historic Subcommittee, we met with them last week. And
Chris, you'll need to, so you need to go to the advisory board, which is the El Presidio Historic Zone Advisory.
Yes.
And yeah, then that's you'll what, need to go back to the plans review subcommittee. Mm-hmm. And both of those will be formal reviews.
Yes.
But PRS wanted commentary from the landscape subcommittee.
Jody, do you feel that we have provided that commentary, if these comments are reflected in the notes, or do we need a motion?
That's a your prerogative. If you want to make a motion to continue it because you've requested certain things and have them come back. I mean, that's essentially what you've asked him to do anyways.
Yes. Okay. Then let's make that official as a motion. JJ or Jeff, would you like to make that motion?
What that the was so the motion would be to come back in 2 weeks' time. Is that what we're looking for?
Well, to integrate the comments received today and come back with a revised presentation or design.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion that, considering the remarks today, that there be revisions to the proposal, and that we come back and discuss that when a quorum is available.
Okay. Hey, this is JJ. I'll second that.
Any questions or comments? Discussion? Those in favor, Jeff?
Aye.
JJ?
Aye.
Steve? Aye. So the motion carries 3-0. Chris, thank you so much. You obviously put a great deal of thought into this. I'm hoping that this discussion is somewhat helpful. And we look forward to meeting with you when you feel ready to present, please, or you know you have an idea of when you're ready to present, just let me know. We'll put together a meeting.
I guess I appreciate everyone's time. I know, you know, there was a lot of space I had to cover. I went very fast. So I hope you guys got a good gist of what we were looking at. As far as coming back and introducing some of these thoughts and comments into the presentation I just gave, in actual graphic or content, where, I guess, besides being verbal about some of these ideas, is there additional layers we'd like to see, like actual tree plant choices, color patterns? Like, how much deeper do we want to go before I come back here?
So the images that you showed south of La Cocina, that would give us all the information that we would need because it has materials, colors.
Oh, like the photo sims?
The photo sims. And so even if you had some, the photo sims that you have would be, are actually quite helpful. It would be helpful if you had some ideas or at least a selection of trees to choose from.
Okay.
Helen, can you?
That's helpful to me. That's helpful to me instead of, you know, pulling a full construction drawing set in front of you.
No,
and down into black and white drawings in AutoCAD, you know. And I'll put you all to sleep and then get a vote.
This is Helen, by the way. I think that'd be really helpful for plans review. I have a feeling that it's harder for them to imagine streetscapes than it is for us. So I think that, you know, adding that to your presentation is going to clarify things for them considerably.
Okay. And by that time we'll have full materials too. Like we'll know exactly what material we're using for these planters. It's wood, but whether we want to do something else or some, we had one recommendation of going to straight steel. So, I'll have that. That'll have a little more detail to it. I'll be able to give a couple more.
That would be helpful. Thank you.
I do appreciate all your time and all this input. This is really great stuff for us from the design world. There's a thousand ways to design something, but once you put bumpers up and you put parameters to what you need to design, that's when the true stuff comes together, right? So having input and things, considerations that are outside of what I'm thinking of are always appreciated. And I appreciate all your time.
And Chris, if there's any way, and I know that as a designer, you don't negotiate this, but if there's any way to get a sense of, is there, you know, a 5-year or a 10-year period, if there could be a review and a, you know, a discussion, if there could be a way to add an actual time at which the project would be discussed again, reviewed, and either it's been acted upon or aspects are beginning to, you know, at least a discussion where it could be said, you know, that seating area really has been an intrusion and the neighborhood really dislikes it. That's something we probably should remove.
I think we're building that in, Steve, where we're starting to, even within the budget cost that we have, we're trying to program in a 3-year maintenance period.
Mm-hmm.
So the costing for that's included in the project. So I'd assume that would be a good sunset date of, you know, revisit.
That would be excellent. That would be really helpful on many levels. Thank you.
Well, answer your first question, Helen.
I think this is a really good idea because, again, having watched a lot of these projects come into Tucson, and eventually it just sort of drags out. And you, in terms of what you're adding to the city or what Rio Nuevo would like to see added, you know, it'd be better to have it for a specific time rather than people go around saying, you know, Norris Design put this terrible stuff. It's a big mess. And why did we ever let this happen? You know, I think this is really appropriate. So.
And, you know, they're all the poles are all bent over and hanging. And, you know,
so. And it's your fault.
Think about it. That's the good thing and the bad thing of being a designer that gets stuff built. Your name's attached to it forever, right?
So that would be great if again, you could talk to the, make sure that the people at Rio Nuevo understand that there is an evaluation point.
There is. That's actually a really great thing because what we're doing, one of the last things we need to produce for this project is kind of an owner's manual of if business Y down the street wanted to add some of this stuff, similar things in front of their business or in front of their residence, what things do they need to, what are the steps? What, you know, like we were talking, you know, what, where do they have to go to get approvals? What drawings do they have to produce? What permits do they need? How much is it going to cost? All this thing, like we can add that on there in the end. Like there's a 3-year review, you know, we can add something like that into that overall thing. So that becomes part of this guide. I mean, it's nothing formal, nothing, you know, it's not a code or, you know, something codified by the mayor, but it could be something we put into this manual that, you know, there's after a few years, you need to go and make sure this thing's still working. That's a great, I like that idea. I put that down in my notes.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move hopefully quickly through the next issues, current issues for information, discussion, and or action. Reed Park Master Plan. I don't think we have anything on that, do we?
Is that for me? Was that for me?
Possibly. It's for anybody at this point. We just decided to keep a number of things on the agenda. Have we heard anything about the Reed Park Master Plan, or is there anything to report on that?
No. And I would say that Parks and Rec is like going through some transitions right now. There's a lot of people retiring, so they're trying to hire a bunch of new people. And Jasmine Chan, who went over there from PTSD, she's on maternity leave. Greg's in Spain. It's all. So
nothing to report at this time. And that's probably
take a breath on that one, because it's going to be a minute.
Okay. And then Armory Park Master Plan. Is that the same case?
No, that's a different case. And that guy, Tom Fisher, I think he was the one who presented. He's getting ready to retire.
We are
moving ahead. They are doing the archaeology on that. They're looking at the archaeology. Pretty soon they'll be doing that. So not digging, but doing a survey, a class 3 survey for that. But I think that's on hold right now.
Drachman Motels, Tucson Inn, El Rancho Motor Hotel, and Frontier Motel, Miracle Mile District. From what I read in the paper, it's really just in a holding pattern. Is that what you know, Jody?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay.
So the only things that I've heard, Ken Scoville continues to, keep up with that. And he is putting together another letter to the Pima County, the Community College Board. And then probably at some point in the next month or two, the Transportation Subcommittee will put together another letter with some suggestions and ideas for Pima Community College.
Thank you, JJ. Issues for collaboration between Transportation Subcommittee and Historic Landscape Subcommittee. It sounds like the Drachman Motels may be one of those.
Yes.
So is there anything we want to discuss now, or should we discuss it at an upcoming meeting?
I think probably next month there might be, it's quite possible there would be some more defined possibilities for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I think we could, as well as with the larger commission, continue to look into is how to have a designated seat on one of the RTA committees, and it would probably be a citizens advisory committee. But anyway, we've done a little bit of looking into that, and we'll continue to do that. Transportation has a huge effect on historic resources, so it would just make sense. That perspective is not really considered officially.
Ellen has just had to leave at 4:30. I'm noting that. Okay. Historic Landscape Subcommittee's possible role in researching, nominating, reviewing rural and cultural landscapes. Is there anything to report at this time?
I would say, man, I would really like to see us continue to do that. Mm-hmm. And Colossal Cave Road would be an excellent opportunity in doing research regarding the current annexations that are underway and the H2K project. You know, I've in going through different surveys that were done over the years, back into the 1980s. Quite a few people have who are doing the surveys have said that they felt like Colossal Cave Road itself was significant and possibly eligible for some kind of designation. And, you know, its setting is, you know, it's on the verge, the setting itself is on the verge of being changed dramatically. But, you know, there are still some possibilities, I think, for, you know, setbacks and retaining some natural vegetation along the roadway. So anyway, I think it's timely, and I think it's certainly relevant for Colossal Cave Road, but I just feel confident that there are many other places in Pima County where it would be very relevant and something we should continue to pursue.
I'll definitely leave it on here, and we'll talk about in our next meeting the possibility of taking on the project. And then follow up on Villa Catalina replacement of turf with artificial turf. We had talked about a study and potential grant. I haven't heard anything, any updates on that, but I will try to follow up at our next meeting.
There will be a session at the conference on artificial turf. You were going to talk to the person, the graduate student, I think that is.
Yes. Rochelle Hornby is her name.
Yes. So now I'm reminding you to do that.
Okay. When is the session?
I don't know when the exact date, but they're at the end of October. So it's like October. JJ, help me out. October.
Sorry, it's the 24th, 23rd, 24th, 25th, I think.
Yeah, so it's like
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday for tours.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to find the mute button.
And if someone is a presenter, do we waive their fee or at least for that session?
Well, for that session. But if they want to attend the whole conference, I think they're thinking that they have to pay for it, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I will follow up with her because I know that's going to be money is short for her. And I know that's going to be one of her first questions. So I will contact Rochelle and I'll try to put the two of you in touch with one another.
Okay.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing that up, Jody. So future agenda items for upcoming meetings. We'll definitely have another meeting associated with the El Presidio, Activate El Presidio Streetscape Project. Are there any other items to go on the agenda at this time?
I don't have any.
No, I don't have any additional.
No. I don't have anything.
Excellent. So it looks like we've come to the time for adjournment. It is 4:35. I want to thank everyone for being here and for all of your work on this. And I look forward to seeing you in a future meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Excellent, Steve.
Thank you, Steve, and keep getting better.
Feel better.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.